This morning we're going to be looking at the entrance into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. As you saw the children waving their palms, that's what they were doing as Jesus was entering Jerusalem, riding on a colt or a donkey, and symbolizing the celebration or the recognition of Jesus Christ coming in to the city to celebrate the Passover feast. And this was a high energy time for people to come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. So if you'll follow along with me with verse 12, I'll be reading 12 through 19 tells the story of Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem. Verse 12 says, "And on the next day, the large crowd who had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took the branches of the palm trees and went out to meet him and began to shout, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel.' Jesus, finding a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, 'Fear not, daughter of Zion, which is Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's coat.' These things his disciples did not understand at first, but when Jesus was glorified, that's in his resurrection, then he remembered, or they remembered, that these things were written of him through the prophecies, of course, and that they had done these things to him. So the people who were with him, when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead, continued to testify about Jesus. For this reason also people went and met him, because they heard that he had performed this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another," the Pharisees entered the picture here, we see, and they was not happy about the situation. "And the Pharisees were saying, 'You see that you are not doing any good. Look, the world has gone after him.'" So this story of the Messiah entering Jerusalem is found in all four Gospels. And I encourage you, maybe take this week and to read about Jesus' entry into Jerusalem for the Feast of the Passover. And each day is very significant in his life, as he had prepared and was continually preparing his disciples, along with people, his followers, for the important event that was taking place. And one of the most important events of history is when Jesus was born. And now, entering through the 33 years of his life in ministry, preparing for this event, it was very crucial. Even Jesus knew that. And he came to fulfill the prophecy of the Old Testament and also the New, because the Bible tells us Jesus came into this world because he loved us. The Father gave his only begotten Son that he might come into this world and die for our sins and save us through eternity. So as we observe the honoring of Jesus, it affected different people in different ways. And of course, the question still remains for us this day: what do we do with the challenge of our lives, to our lives, that Jesus presents to us? And he did present a challenge to all the people. And as we read the scriptures, that even the disciples didn't fully understand what was taking place. They knew the Feast of the Passover, but what was to follow that, it was still in their minds of what was really going to be taking place, and the people as well, as the scripture says. So So what do we do to prepare ourselves for challenge our lives that Jesus presents here to us? Well, first of all, we see the triumph entry or the acceptance of, from the people. And we see that in verse 12, this was the last week of Jesus' life here in Jerusalem. And on the next day, the large crowd, I'm reading verse 12 again, who had come to the feast when they heard that Jesus was coming into Jerusalem. So to understand this event, we must realize how swiftly what the rulers thought, how dangerously, how excited was raging among the crowds. And it was estimated probably from 100,000 to 2 million people had come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. Now, who had come up from the Passover and heard, as the scripture says, the raising of Lazarus? Now that brought up some curiosity, and they were what they came to see and experience and to talk to Jesus and to see Jesus, because they had not seen or heard of this before, of the raising someone from the dead. So the Passover was always a time when national feelings were really, really high, and any emotion might cause concerns. So you see, the Passover Seder, that is the Feast of the Passover, and that's what it is called in the Greek term. So Jesus was such a controversial person that it was impossible for him to be near Jerusalem and remain unnoticed. You know, when the word gets out, it does, doesn't it? Word gets out, and people wants to come and see. When we announce or promote things, and you see things in the paper or it's mentioned on the media, you know, people automatically, they want to go and check it out and see what's going on. And that's what was taking place here as well. And from many sought out Jesus, also they were seeking out Lazarus. They wanted to see him in person. Here a man had been laid in a grave for 4 days. And I guess they wanted to see if he was, what kind of condition he was in. But they wanted to see, is that really Lazarus? Really him? So the chief priest planned to kill Jesus and Lazarus. And they believed removing Jesus would end the threat. But Jesus was following the sign or fulfilling the Heavenly Father's plan from the very beginning. And Jesus knew that Scripture must be fulfilled, so he allows this honoring and this worship to take place. Now, as we look further here in verse 12 and then moving into verse 13, this crowd simply did not come to greet Jesus only. They laid out the royal carpet for him, as we see here in verse 13. It said, it took branches of palm trees, and they went out to meet him and began to shout, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." Now, when we think about the shouting of Hosanna, this is very significant. The people knew when they were saying Hosanna, it meant please save us, or save us now. And they were thinking about Jesus Christ as being a military ruler or king to save them or take them out of the rule over the Roman Empire. But Jesus, yes, certainly came to bring salvation. And so what they were saying was true. Hosanna, save us now. Well, Jesus would have saved the whole world then, the ones present, if they would only believe that he was the Messiah. And so today in our lives, in our testimony, in our witness, of going about and sharing about Jesus Christ. That's what we are to do and pass along. Hosanna, He is the King. He's the Lord of Lords. So then, and even now, as we present Jesus Christ, especially this time of year, that this gets people's attention when they hear about Christmas. You know, people get together and they have family gatherings and we celebrate this because it's very significant of Jesus Christ coming in this world. And also Easter is another important event in history that Jesus Christ came into this world as a babe the first time, first coming of Jesus, and then there'll be a second coming. But now that He has entered Jerusalem, for us today, we are to continue to remember what Jesus says when He met with the disciples, that I'm going away, but the Holy Spirit will come. And we have the Holy Spirit here today to teach us everything that Jesus taught the disciples then and about and keep in remembrance of the importance of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, also, it was a shout of praise to God, quoting Psalms. Actually, when they came and singing Hosanna and so forth, the quoting from the people and those were quoting from Psalms 118:26, actually a paragraph there in Psalms 118 that ascribed His titles, His to be Jesus who comes, the coming one, and that's in chapter 11, 21, in the name of the Lord. Now, let's look at Messiah fulfillment in verse 14 through 16. You see, Jesus accepted this enthusiastic celebration for Him coming. And His coming was to encourage the people to really see Him for what He came. Not just a military ruler or some king like Herod, but a ruler or a king or a Messiah who they had been praying for had been prophesied for many, many years. And here Jesus was in the presence. And they couldn't see the obvious. They couldn't see the obvious because their minds wasn't in line with what the scriptures was truly saying about Jesus as Him coming in peace to bring salvation to the world. So, the scripture says He chose a donkey instead of a horse to make that statement. You see, that He was different. He was a different kind of king or Messiah that they expected. So it says that Jesus, finding a young donkey, sat on it as it is written. And of course, Jesus prepared the disciples to go and find that donkey. He made preparation and ahead of time. And this was for Jesus to come in, showing that He came in peace. He came in peace. And the donkey, riding the donkey, was a sign of Him coming in peace. And they wanted a conqueror, a hero that would establish an earthly kingdom or dominion or power. That's what they were looking for. But see, Jesus came as a humble prince of peace who would liberate His followers from their self, from their sin. And going back all the way back to Genesis, where Satan deceived Adam and Eve, He wanted to save them from the power of Satan over their life, their nation, and the world. So John saw it so important in all of the Gospels to record the prophetic fulfillment. And we find it here in verse 15 where it says, "Fear not, daughter of Zion." And that verse is very important for us to understand, that daughter of Zion, which is called here, is also the daughter of Jerusalem, Jesus' birthplace. And it is very important for the whole world to recognize that this is where our Savior was born. And he will establish his kingdom there one of these days when he comes back again. So these verses are very significant for us today to understand that Jesus Christ is the King and the Messiah of the world. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Now, not only did the crowds fail to understand the significance of this nature of Jesus' Messiah mission, but the disciples, the ones closest to him and the participants in the events that were taking place that very day and that whole week long, did not truly understand. And for us, as we read the scriptures and understand what the scriptures tell us and what the disciples, and this is, they were inspired to write what they saw. I've talked about the revelations that are those things that are revealed by God, but now they're inspired to write what they witnessed and that what they saw. And at that moment, they fully didn't understand. So we have a lot of people in our world today that you meet, and maybe you talk to, that don't fully understand the scriptures, and maybe we don't. That's why we come together on Wednesday night, right? And we study the Word. We get in it, and we get into it deep, and that's why we come together on Sunday morning, so that we join corporately, so that we can better understand the fulfillment and the promises made to us as believers in Christ, so that we can live our life knowing the truth and the significance of Christ's death and resurrection. So it's very important that we understand that as well. Now, see, they liked the perspective of the cross and the resurrection of the ascension. And I guess I've mentioned this before, not until they saw Jesus going up into the sky did they fully realize that what he had been teaching them that 3.5 years, preparing them and preparing us for that event in life. Now finally, we see the sign of acknowledgement in verses 17 through 19. See, John reminds us right here in verse 17 that the means of the crowd excitement was the rising raising of Lazarus. That was their excitement. And the people who saw Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead, they testified to others what they had seen. The same way when Jesus rose from the grave, people went about testifying, "We have seen Jesus. He has risen." But they were there with the excitement to see Lazarus. I mean, wouldn't you want to, if you had heard somebody had been raised from the dead and they had been in a tomb for 4 days, wouldn't you want to come and see that person, talk to them, say, "What was it like? I mean, was you really dead?" You know, there's books written on people who has had those kind of experiences. But this is a true event, according to the scripture, that it happened exactly the way it did. And therefore, the news of the great miraculous sign, it spread throughout the city. People were excited about it. And in verse 18, tells us why the crowd looked for Jesus. The size of the crowd kept increasing. It get it in larger and larger and larger. And as I stated a few minutes ago, there was estimated of 100 to 2 million people there for this event and there for the Passover feast. So it means the teaching of men's spiritual truth and pointing to God is very important. But we see that the raising of Lazarus demonstrates Jesus as the resurrection and life who overcomes death. And going back to John chapter 11, where when Lazarus died, he had been in the tomb or laid dead for 4 days. And Martha and Mary, hearing that Jesus was in the city, first of all, Mary ran out first and said, "If you would have been here, our brother would have lived." Then Martha, she came out and said the same thing, and Jesus said, "He does live." And Jesus says, "Do you believe this?" And Martha said, "I know that you are, I believe in the resurrection." He said, "Well, I'm talking about now. There will be a resurrection, but there's a resurrection now. Your brother lives." And of course, we know the rest of the story where Jesus went into the city, saw all the people around, comforting and trying to bring comfort to Mary and Martha. And when Jesus saw that, he, with the compassion that Jesus had, the same compassion that you and I should have for, and we do, for when we lose loved ones and so forth. But in John 11:35, it says, Jesus did what? He wept. He wept. He showed that compassion. So the raising of Lazarus demonstrates Jesus' resurrection and life, who overcomes death. And the disciples and the people did not fully understand, but the authorities understood what was happening. As verse 19 tells us, that it was not their liking. They didn't like it. They didn't like what was going on. And a lot of times in our demonstrations of stuff today, we see things we don't like and so forth that we understand ahead of time, but don't understand what's going on. But at this time, this important event, the Pharisees and the chief priests and so forth was not happy what they was experiencing or seeing, because Herod especially, he didn't want Jesus Christ when he was a babe. Of course, he didn't live long after that, but none of those chief authorities were happy. So in closing this morning, it was a day of great popular acclaim of Jesus, but sadly the people had little spiritual perception. And how we gain that spiritual perception is as our reading and studying of God's Word, and by the power of the Holy Spirit teaching us, even more strengthens our faith and gives us that assurance of the coming future. So, as the world today, it is a struggle between light and darkness. Jesus talked about the light, and he also talked about the darkness. The light is shining with brilliance in the world, calling people to come and see themselves as the world as they truly are. The world itself without Christ is in the darkness. The people in this world has the light of Christ. And the same time, the force of darkness are working to extinguish it, to keep the world in ignorance and sin. So, Jesus is still the humble King who offers what? He offers peace. He offers peace. And the question is, still remains to those without Christ. Will they accept him? Or will they be confused like those back then didn't fully understand? And it all boils down to, it's the decision of each individual in this world. But you know what? We can help that out. We can help people better understand. Yes, you know, we were there. We were in your place at one time. But when Christ came into our heart and life, he changed things. He renewed our life. He gave us a new perspective, his perspective. If we be in Christ, we are what? New creatures are. We are a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come, in order for us to walk in the newness of life. That Jesus set that pattern. He set that precedence in our life when he was here. And the scriptures reinforces that and reveals the truth about the Son of Jesus Christ. Our Father God, we praise you this morning. Thank you that we too, and still now, celebrate Palm Sunday and the Holy Week, the coming of Jesus Christ into this world, going to the cross, died for our sins, but yet rose on the third day, which we'll be celebrating next Sunday. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us this week will take time and reflect and meditate on this great event. If there's any confusion of the people that we meet this week or in the coming months or years, help us, give us the insight as you promised the disciples to be able to give an account of our witness and our testimony and what we know from your scripture. It's not what we come up with, it's what we know that is true, that we have read and studied and been revealed to us through your scriptures. And I pray for anyone here today that does know you personally through your scripture, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of truth, the word of God. In this still moment, Lord, I pray as we each search our hearts, examine our lives, that we'll allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to us what we need to do in making the decision for you or renewing our life, are really focusing on this week, this Holy Week. As we sing our closing song, Lord, may your Holy Spirit empower us, enrich us, and let us see the true light of Jesus Christ. In his precious name I pray, amen.